Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today's a special episode I'm going to dedicate completely to AC/DC. My favorite, you know, one of my top three favorite bands of all time. And they got a new record coming out on Tuesday, December 2nd. So I figured, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do a whole episode for these guys. It's going to be impossible for me to cover everything that I love about this band, of course, because I can't cover, you know, 35 years of a band that I love on a podcast. I'm going to try, but I can't. I'm just going to talk about shit that I love about this band. If you look at this band on paper, no way should they be big. You know, you had like three different singers. A lot of people don't even know that. Like the average fan, three different singers. Yeah, their first singer, Dave Evans, in 1 year, boom, out of there. Then the best singer of all time comes in, Bon Scott. Then he dies. Then they get Brian Johnson. Three fucking singers. All right. You have three different drummers. You have Phil Rudd, of course. Then he gets fired at one point. They bring in Simon Wright. He quits. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. You do not quit AC/DC. And then they had Chris Slade for a few years. That was the bald guy that was in the Firm. Three fucking drummers. Three singers. Two bass players. Yeah, the first bass player, Mark Evans, plays up to, I think, Power Age record. And then you got Cliff Williams, who's been in the band forever. To me, Cliff Williams is the bass player of AC/DC, of course. Guy's been in there fucking a million years. Mark Evans was only in 2 years. So there you go. How insane is that? Multi-members. They even had a rhythm guitar player part-time who's in the band now. You know, Malcolm and Angus's nephew, what's it, Stephen Young? He played on a tour I saw when Malcolm went into rehab. Didn't faze him. Still doing fucking arenas and stadiums. Started in 1973. Hall of Fame 2003. Some of the most legendary records of all time in rock. Of all fucking time. You ask anybody who the top five rock bands are, it's going to usually be Zeppelin, Sabbath, and AC/DC 90% of the time. Some of the greatest records ever made, of course. I remember young finding these imports at Tower Records in San Rafael on Francisco Boulevard. I went down there, got TNT and High Voltage. They were on import. They had the one with the dog pissing on the amp. You know, Dirty Deeds, classic record. One of the best songs ever, Jailbreak. Then, of course, Let There Be Rock, which this podcast is named after, of course, Let There Be Talk. Power Age, Highway to Hell, Back in Black, Those About to Rock, Flick of the Switch, Fly on the Wall, Blow Up Your Video, Razor's Edge, Ball Breaker, Stiff Upper Lip, Black Ice, and now the new one, Rock or Bust. And of course, Who Made Who, which was like a funky EP, remember that, for the Stephen King film? Had some instrumentals and stuff. Who Made Who? I mean, this band is complete fucking survivor band. How do you have a lead singer die after Highway to Hell, a smashing record, get a new singer, and 6 months later make a record that is considered one of the most all-time greatest rock records and the biggest top three selling record of all time? How the fuck do you do that, man? It's just insane. A lot of people don't even know that there was other singers and shit like that. Like if I talk to somebody and I go, yeah, I like Bond, they go, oh, they had another singer. I just know to walk on that one. I just go, oh, cool, you're a part-timer. All right. Like I said, I've talked about it many times. The first time I saw the band, people were into Angus. He was wearing the shorts. The guy was like 9. Guitar was bigger than him. He dressed as a schoolboy. Everybody loved him, but I loved the insanity of Bon Scott. Tattooed, big old fucking parrot. Just crazy Levi vest that didn't fit. Came out with some of the most outlaw lyrics of all time. And just his moves are great. Voice, always fucking fire live. Never shitty voice live, ever. The guy lived and breathed rock. I believe he's one of the last rock stars ever. The guy was, I mean, at the time of his death, he had money and just, you know, he'd wake up on someone's couch. There's famous stories of him just like go to people's houses after arena shows and be at like a house party and just party. Can you imagine you're having a kegger and Bon Scott's there like, hey, mate, you know? Anyway, they're just fucking epic. So last week, my buddy Billy gets me the record. You know, he and I love AC/DC, but he, I think, is a little more forgiving than me. To me, I'm like, I don't need no new records. I'm not a dick, but I feel that this band has so many great songs that they just never get old to me. So yeah, even if I do get a new record, I play it for a couple weeks, and then I just go back to the old ones, you know? So they're in my iTunes. I own every AC/DC record, of course. But, you know, when was the last time that I listened to Razor's Edge? Probably when it came out. When was the last time I listened to Stiff Upper Lip? In 2000, when it came out. Ballbreaker? Probably haven't listened to that thing. It came out in 95. I can't even tell you when I listen to that. It's not that I don't like them, but I'd much rather put on Power Age every fucking day, or Let There Be Rock, or Dirty Deeds, or For Those About to Rock. Even Flick of the Switch. I think that record gets the least glory out of, I mean, not Fly on the Wall and all that shit, but I'm saying out of the Back in Black, Those About to Rock, Flick of the Switch. Flick of the Switch is fucking smoking if you put it on now. You know, they could put out Flick of the Switch now and call it the new AC/DC record. Most people didn't buy it back then, and they'd be like, what a fucking masterpiece, you know? Anyway, so Billy gets me the record. It comes over. I gotta be honest. I thought Play Ball, the single, when I first saw it, I was like, this is fucking horrible. You know, the lyrics, Play Ball, and I was like, I don't know. But then Rock or Bust, I was like, hey, that ain't bad. And then I get the record. I put it on. I decide, turn off the phone, sit down, turn this thing up. Let's put it on like I'm in the seventh grade just buying an AC/DC record and see what happens. And as I put it on, track one's Rock or Bust. Then it goes to Play Ball 2. I don't mind it this time because now I'm in a sequence. I'm like, yeah, that ain't bad. Then the next song, 3, Rock the Blues. I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. But then all of a sudden, something happens. I get in the middle of this fucking record, and I'm like, whoa, this shit is good. The next song, Misadventure, it's 3 minutes, just pure rocking. I was like, man, this is a fucking great song. I couldn't believe it. Brendan O'Brien produced it. Who, if you don't know Brendan O'Brien, let me just give you a fucking rundown of Brendan O'Brien. Rick Rubin gets a lot of glory, and I love Rick, and I would love to have him on my podcast. He's one of my favorite people on the planet because he knows everything about music. He's a Tarantino of music. He's a fucking killer. The guy is a good spirit, man. But Brendan O'Brien, let me just give you a rundown of this guy. And believe me, I would fucking worship to have this guy on the podcast. He's made so many records that are in my collection and I listen to over and over that Brendan O'Brien needs to get way more fucking glory. Record producers are the unsung heroes of a lot of bands. Like, you know, Beatles. They had what, George Martin. You got AC/DC had a good run with Mutt Lang. You know, people get these producers and they come up with magic, like the Black Album with Bob Rock. Bob Rock did a killer job with the Colt and Metallica. But Brendan O'Brien seems to turn in fucking record after record after record that are fire. He worked on Shake Your Money Maker with the Black Crowes. He engineered Danzig's Lucifuge, which is a masterpiece. He engineered and mixed Dice Rules, the Dice comedy record. He engineered and played keyboards on Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Are you fucking kidding me? Engineer on Southern Harmony, the Black Crowes record. But really where he hits fire is when he starts working with Pearl Jam. He does the Pearl Jam Versus record. And I remember everybody on the planet was like, we got to get Brendan O'Brien. We want that Pearl Jam Versus record sound. From there out, man, he just starts killing it. He mixed Soundgarden, Super Unknown. He did the Stone Temple Pilots Purple record. Then Pearl Jam Vitology. He did a Dylan record. The Neil Young Mirror Ball. Stone Temple Pilots Tiny Music. Then he does a record that absolutely lights my head on fire. Evil Empire. All right? Evil Empire by Rage Against the Machine. Are you fucking kidding? The reason I'm bringing these records up is when you put them on, they sonically sound fucking incredible, man. You put Evil Empire on right now, it does not sound dated. It completely crushes. And one of the reasons I really like this AC/DC record is a lot of people try to get AC/DC and they produce them to where they try to make them sound like 1974. Now that works. Like Rick Rubin did the Colt, and he made the Colt electric sound like an AC/DC record. But when Rick Rubin did an AC/DC record, it didn't sound good. So if you try to make a band sound dry and old school flat and everything, sometimes it doesn't fucking work. But what Brendan O'Brien's done with AC/DC on this record is incredible. He's gave him some air. It sounds oomphy, you know, like as dumb as that sounds, oomphy. But it's got this killer, killer aura. So let's take a minute here and listen to Misadventure. I'll let you guys check it out. See what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, you're down. I'll make it.
forget about that. That shit's cool. What? It just sounds like nothing they've really done. I mean, it's fucking killer. Before I go on, I want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors. Catatonic. You've been seeing my new stickers. Catatonic's doing all my artwork. They're the best. If you need some stickers made for your business, your rock band, or your comedian, or anything, Catatonic can handle all your artwork. Please check them out. They're having a contest right now for Dell Razors. And enter the contest, and if you win, they're going to make a sticker for you, any design you got. So go see them, catatonic.com. That's CADATONIC.com. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter. They can make toys for you. Christmas is coming up. You want to get a custom-made toy, maybe for your lady friend. You want to make a toy of your package. You want to make a toy of your package? Draw your package. They'll make a 3D toy of it. Like your own personal dildo. Hilarious, right? Anyway, Catatonic, fantastic, man. I just give them my ideas and boom, they're up and running. I got the brand new Dell Razor 666 sticker. And a lot of people asking about how to get stickers. If you make a small donation to the podcast, whatever you want to do on a donation, I'll send you stickers. And Adam Wright and Richie Garcia made donations this week. Look for those envelopes in your mailboxes, guys. You guys rock. Keeping the podcast up and rocking. Catatonic, check them out. They do my stickers. They'll help you out. All right, let's get back to it here. So that was Misadventure, and it's just rocking. You can hear the sound is fucking great. The next song after that, which, by the way, this is the shortest AC/DC record, which I do not have a problem with. I got tired of the 15-song records. It's like, all right, I get it. A good 9, 10-song record or old-school punk style. Like, I was listening to Minor Threat this week, and I was like, fuck yeah, that thing punches you in the face, and then you're ready to go. It's like a shot of espresso. This AC/DC record, 34 minutes. Boom. Next song, Dogs of War. This song is fucking great, too. It's just killer. It just starts out with this, you know, Dogs of War. It's just unusual a little bit for AC/DC for me. And I love it. It's just rocking. Check it out, man. Dogs of War.
Thank you.
pretty kick-ass, right? So, of course, the record, the one thing I felt AC/DC was always missing in the later records was they didn't seem to have the fast rockers, you know, like they never had like, you know, riff raff or anything, like something up tempo, like, you know, it seemed to turn into kind of just blues things, like dun, dun, more like Whole Lot of Rosie all the time, which was never my, you know, cup of tea for AC/DC. It was, I was always into the just full blatant rockers. You know, the later records always felt a little just slow to me, which I get it. You're getting older. It's just like, dun, 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 dun. I get it. But this record has some fucking up-tempo smashers, man. And that really, really excited me. I was like, fuck yeah. This song, check it out. Baptism by Fire. Pretty fucking rocking, right? So, you know, that's a little taste of the record for you right there. It comes out on Tuesday. I hope you guys go and get it. It's going to be interesting. I think the record's going to go number one, man. They're getting a lot of heat. These guys are like old, man. And they work their ass off. I've seen nothing but nonstop press with Angus and Brian. Now, it's the first record that Malcolm didn't play on, but I did some digging on it, and it was kind of similar to the Van Halen record, where They used some riffs and tracks that they'd been working on over the last 10 years. You know, I'm sure that these, you know, some of these songs, they were just kind of working, punching around at sound checks or over the years, you know. So it's definitely 100% Malcolm flavor, but, you know, no Malcolm on the record. But it's all right, man. It's I'm starting to come to grips with it. Band is the band's getting old. People are passing away, man. These big bands are going to be gone, and it's going to be over with. I was talking to Joey Diaz about it. It's like, when they're gone, what do we got? Thank God there's a Rival Sons. They're out there doing it, right? There's some bands, Sheepdogs, but there's not going to be any bands that are going to have 15, 16 fucking records out. You know? Can you even put that together? Can you imagine in 1973, you and your brother start a band and your uncles are producing it and you're driving around fucking playing gigs, and here it is 100 years later and you're still fucking, you know, playing rock? Even back in 1980, I talk about this. When they were tracking Back in Black, no way did Brian Johnson even think that they were going to go another year. You know, so he's in there just singing his fucking head off, which is incredible, man, with those tracks. When you hear that Have a Drink on Me, you know how fucking high. Have a drink on me. That's so fucking hard to do, man. But, that's one thing I wanted to talk about this record. Brian has been recorded in so many different ways. And this is some nerdy shit. But if you listen to Back in Black, Mutt Lang is a god on this vocal tone. Mutt Lang killed it. Back in Black, Highway to Hell, and Those About to Rock. You listen to those records and, you know, the vocal tone sounds amazing. Of course, Highway to Hell being bomb. But what I'm saying is the vocals sound real. They have this aura to them. They just crush. Later on, when people try to record Brian Johnson, and I'm not on the inside, I don't know if his voice was fried or was he just recorded wrong. Like way too much compression. When you got too much compression on a record, it squishes everything to where he was sounding like Donald Duck, you know? It'd be like, ooh, man, ooh, ooh, man. Which is crazy because he sounds fucking amazing on this record. And somebody said he's kind of like the new Steve Marriott now. Not the new, but he's starting to come into kind of an old blues rock Steve Marriott vibe. Whatever it is, he sounds great on this record. I'd love to ask Brendan O'Brien how he approached recording him, because he just fucking sounds killer. That was the first thing I noticed about when I heard what was the song, Rock or Bust. I was like, hey man, he fucking sounds good, like really good. So I'm excited about that, man. He's just fucking, hats off to Brian Johnson, man. You can't step into bigger shoes than, you know, Bon Scott. There is just no bigger shoes. And you got to look at the records that Brian Johnson did. I love a lot of them, man. Back in Black, Those About to Rock, A Flick of the Switch. I play fucking 3-4 times a week right now. You know, it's insane. And even later on, Razor's Edge, when they have that fucking Thunderstruck song. I mean, that thing's played in every sports arena there is. You know, so fuck yeah, man. Brian, hanging in there, man. Just so great. I still think some of the vocal performances on Back in Black are some of the best vocals I've ever heard. Hell's Bells is insane. You cannot touch that song, man. It is just evil. So right on, man. But I gotta say, probably the king on this record is Angus. And as I sat back and listened to it over and over and over, I thought about how fucking great is Angus, man. This guy, how old is this guy? Let me look real quick. He is, hang in there, 59 years old, okay? He is playing like fucking fire. My hands right now, my hands from riding a motorcycle every day are trashed. They just fucking hurt sometimes. I feel like Clay from Sons of Anarchy, like, oh, my hands. Sometimes I'll grab the mic at a show and I'll be like, oh, my hand. I can't even imagine what this guy's hands feel like playing lead guitar every day of his life since fucking, you know, he was like 12. And then doing the radical early day Angus where he's just running off amps, two stories high, falling onto his fucking back, doing the spin around on the ground and just popping up, never missing a note. I mean, if you listen to that If You Want Blood record, it blows my fucking mind. Oh, which, by the way, wasn't in the list of that list of records I named. But Angus is a god. And as I listened to this record, I sat back and went, you know what? Fuck yeah. This guy is a King Kong rock guitar player. Yeah, I like this band, right? Oh, just a little bit. Insane. Different eras, all different eras, like I said, different singers, different drummers. Phil Rudd, definitely not going to be in. I don't care what anybody says. He will not be on this tour. You saw some of the recent photos. He's just gangster. I love it, man. There's a photo of him out front of the court just flipping off the paparazzi. Then he almost smashes his car into a truck. This is a couple days ago. Gangster. I mean, is it gangster in a good way? Probably not. You know what I mean? But still, you got to think like, God, man, that guy's wild. You know? I mean, who the hell at 60 is snorting some meth and just getting gangster? Insane, man. I tell you, Phil Rudd, I saw Phil Rudd on that Black Ice tour. And wow. He's fucking was so good there. So I'm kind of bummed that he's not going to be there. There's no way he's going to be on this tour. Unless he does a complete 360 rehab and starts just throwing money at his legal issues. He can throw money at that. He'll get out of that shit. You watch. If you look at it at the end of the day, they'll throw the meth and the weed thing out. And then he'll get some kind of probation on that. Trying to hire someone to kill someone. He'll throw money at that. Because where does he live? New Zealand or something? They need money. He's like, here, you guys get like a new courthouse. I'll pay for it and just let me walk. So if he got himself, I mean, of course, I can already tell by the interviews that he's not doing the tour. But, you know, I've got to go see it. I mean, where do they come? One every 6-10 years? This is going to be it. I don't care what anybody says. They are not going to play after this. You know? What year? 2014, what are they going to come back? I mean, Angus is what, 59? How old's Brian? Brian is 67, man. Are you kidding? How fucking cool is that? He's 67. You know what I would pay to be 67 and be like a rocker like that, just up there being able to sing like Let There Be Rock at 67? And he looks great. He looks better than Angus, who's 59. Hilarious. Fuck, man. So, anyway, record comes out on Tuesday. And I'm pretty fired up about it. I hope you guys are too. I want you guys to tweet if you're on Twitter. Of course, I'm at Dean Del Rey, R-A-Y. Tweet your favorite AC/DC song. Because I think, of course, it's going to be killer AC/DC all week, this week. So, you know, let's get it going in the Twitter there. I'm just kind of interested to see where we can get this podcast here, because I think a lot of people love AC/DC, man. And I think we can get some fucking fire going on it. So tweet your favorite song. Tell me the first time you saw them. And, you know, everything, man. Let's just have a full-blown AC/DC week. Records out December 2nd. Get that thing, man. Download it immediately. I'd like to get it on vinyl. I don't know. I don't think it's going to come out on vinyl. But I would love to get it on vinyl. Which, by the way, somebody asked me if the vinyl reissues were any good. I bought that huge AC/DC vinyl box. It came with like 9 records. And that was my first purchase when I bought a turntable. That and Song Remains the Same. So both those are good, the reissues. But I would just seek out the originals. You know how many AC/DC records they sold? I mean, how many fucking records these guys sell? Let's look it up there. It's got to be in 200 million records worldwide. 71 million in the United States alone. 200 million records. You know how easy it would be to find a fucking an original copy of any of the records on vinyl? Now, to find them clean, that's going to be hard, because anyone that owns AC/DC, not only did they play it a million times and it's probably pretty worn, but they rolled joints on the cover and, you know, or hung the covers up in their house. So the covers are probably all pretty trashed. But 200 million records, that's just insane. 50 million of those, 50 million are back in black. Can you understand that? 50 million. So these guys don't even, you know, they can't even spend their money. Hey, that's another thing about this band. I always talk about mystique on my podcast. Try to keep some mystique if you're doing some kind of entertainment. Don't give it all away. Don't fucking, you know. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm all over the place. I go, oh, I got to back off a little bit, because I don't want people to just be like, enough. You know, you don't want to be that guy. It's hard because you want to keep your career going. But at the same time, you don't want to fucking make people sick. You know, I just try to stay out there and keep working. But these guys, man, you know, they have complete mystique. Like, I never see any photos of, like, Angus's houses or cars. Or, you know, this fucking guy has mansions and shit. His money is beyond. I mean, Brian had a show last year where he was doing, like, showing off his car collection. And I was like, oh, that's cool, man, because Brian Johnson loves cars. And he was doing episodes on cars, and I was, like, way into that. But, fuck, man. There's no TMZ on ACD, like Angus caught with 3 girls. You know, they're just low key. I think that's what happens when you play such fucking radical rock. When you get home, you're like, hey, man, I'm going to be sleeping and walking the dog. You know? Insane, man. Insane. I was going to say, if you haven't read the Bon Scott book, too, it's a great read. It's an interesting read. Of course, you get to when Bon dies, and there's a chapter where they say some record company people just came into his girlfriend's house and took notebooks and stuff. There's all that stuff of did you know, Bon Scott write Back in Black? There's always that. Goes on for years and years and years. I don't think we'll ever know. I'm pretty sure that was, if he did, that would be a key thing of making Brian Johnson accepted, was immediately showing that he was a writer on the record. I have no thoughts on that, because I mean, I do have thoughts on it, but I'm not sitting there going, yeah. But if you look at the lyrics on Back in Black, it definitely feels Bon Scottish to me. Highway to Hell, have a drink on me. You know, let me put my love into you. Those sound like Bon Scott songs, you know, the lyrics and stuff. Who knows? But it's an interesting book to read. And also there's some stories online. Check it out. It's just fun read, you know. But that's a long time ago. And there's only a couple guys left that know. Maybe even Mutt Lange. Mutt Lange might know. I mean, they were demoing stuff. They talk about they were working on tunes with Bon. It was Bon on drums. And I think Cliff Williams and Angus or Malcolm or whatever, the three. It was like three guys working on tunes. Bon on drums. Can't believe it. Just can't imagine just, hey, I got a song here and just playing drums. But that, you know, who knows on that? Doesn't really matter. I mean, the fucking iconic rock record. I'm just babbling right now just because it's just, I'm going through notes here and just thinking about what a great band this is. I hope you guys love them as much as I do. If you don't, get down into them, man. This fucking band is epic. It's so funny. They're you know, what, Australia? They're from Australia, and the guys are from, what, Glasgow and stuff? Where's Angus from? I think he's from Glasgow. Born in Glasgow. But you think about this band being, you know, Scotland, Australia, but they feel 100% like a USA American rock band, right? They full-blown feel like an American treasure. America is all about AC/DC. Any sporting event, like I said, any long car ride, you put it on. So that's my little spin on it. I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the record because I was blown away and I didn't want it just to slide on by like another record. So get that thing on Tuesday. Tweet at me. Tell me what songs you like. Play it from top to bottom, too. Don't just skim around on it. Play this thing in the sequence. Like I always talk about, bands work on their sequence, the order of the songs. Enjoy it. Thank you, AC/DC, for being part of my life. Brendan O'Brien, you, I love you, man. You made a great record with these guys. And, you know, the only thing I hate is the name. Rock or Bust. Come on, man. You don't have nothing more than that. Anyway, thank you guys. Check out the record and thanks for tuning in. See ya.